this special extended podcast for the complete service of Sunday the 10th of May. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We will make a start, although I'm sure, as always, St. Peter's, whether we're meeting in person or online, people are slower than usual as they try and get themselves up and ready and in front of a computer screen to join us for this morning. It is great to be gathering today on this very special Sunday, and you should have printed off or got access to a service sheet, which you can have open up on another screen or, as I say, print it out. As the pinned comment in the comment section says, if you have them, it would be useful to get some Lego, Duplo or building bricks of any brand or type for later on in the service. That's particularly for children, but adults, you can obviously do it as well. That will be part of the prayer activity. The other thing just to say is, if you weren't here last week, we're trying out new technology. I'm still trying to get to grips with it. It went well last week, but that means I might get complacent this week. So please be patient with the technology, particularly as I try to be in multiple places at once. But I'm obviously controlling everything from this laptop here. I'm trying to do it remotely, and it's not as straightforward as I'd hoped. But anyway, I hope that you can be patient with us as we try to model through. We're going to begin our service with the Easter acclamation, as we're still in Easter for at least another week and a half. So if you've got your service sheet, all the words that you need for the service will be on that. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. So let us recognize his presence with us. Let's just be quiet for a moment to take a nice deep breath in and to acknowledge that God is present in our homes and in our lives. Wherever we find ourselves, God is indeed with us this Sunday morning, this first day of the week as we gather together as his followers. So let's just be quiet and acknowledge that presence with us. As God's people, we have gathered. Let us worship him together. As we've been doing during lockdown, we've got two readings today, and I will be talking to the children, particularly about the gospel reading, and then we've Simon Hayes, our lay reader, has recorded some reflections to help us and guide us through our Acts reading. The Acts reading particularly talks about a gathering of the early church as they met on the first day of the week, Sunday, and broke bread together. We will be sharing Eucharist later. Well, I will be taking Eucharist. We'll be celebrating Eucharist together. And if you are got questions about that, got questions about where I stand on taking communion, having communion over the internet, etc., 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 then there are lots of videos on our Facebook page. If you find me standing in the church with a big poncho or a chasuble, then chances are I will probably be talking about my thoughts on the Eucharist at this time in the current restrictions. So please do at some point go and watch those. I won't be talking much about it because I think I've said enough about it over the last few weeks. But we will be celebrating that. So as we travel towards that moment of celebration, we are sort of preparing ourselves to meet with God and to receive him again in our lives and to pray into that. So we're going to begin by worshipping together, sung worship. This is a good classic hymn called Immortal Invisible. Some of the lines at the end have been changed, but I quite like the new words. So I hope that it will help you to engage in worship. So let's worship God together. So we now turn to our time of confession, and I think in this lockdown, that song talks about God being invisible and hid from our eyes, and we ask the Lord to unveil those things and pour about his new graces upon us. So as we come, let us acknowledge those times when we've not seen God, when we have maybe closed our eyes to him, or we've just struggled to find him in these busy and crazy times of our world. So I'm just going to give us a bit of time just to pause, to be quiet before God, and to name and acknowledge the difficulties we have of finding him and following him at these days. We're going to begin with a bit of liturgy. So if you've got your service sheet there, we'll say these words together as an introduction to the confession. Way neglected, truth distorted, life rejected. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. Lord, have mercy. We have lived by the light of our own eyes as faithless and not believing. Christ, have mercy. We've lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive you, free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we say together, way rejoined, truth restated, life reclaimed. So if the children aren't there, I want to invite them to gather around the screen to hear our Bible reading, our first Bible reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And then I want to say a few things and then set them a task as they with their Lego. So if they would like to gather, that would be really helpful as we begin. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas, one of the disciples, said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This is Jesus speaking to his friends just before he heads off to the cross to die for our sins. And he's saying to them, as they are confused, concerned and anxious, do not let your hearts be troubled. It's that word again that we've been talking about, peace. Peace be with you. It's a very common phrase throughout the Bible. Do you know what? It's mentioned 600 and something times. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace be with you. God really wants us to hear this word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is great. God wants us to stay calm, to know that he is with us. Now, sometimes we find it difficult to see him. We've sung a song about him being invisible. Sometimes people ask us, well, where is your God? Where is he working? And we find it really difficult to see him because our eyes can't see him. But God is with us. Jesus promises it over and over again. When he goes off to die, he says, it's okay. I'm going to come back and I will be with you. First of all, he then raises himself from the dead on Easter Sunday. We celebrated it a couple of weeks ago, and we continue to celebrate that great news that Jesus rose from the dead. He wasn't dead at all. He's alive. And he is about to ascend to his Father. We're about to celebrate something called Ascension Day, where Jesus gets lifted up into the Father's presence. Now, many of you might be asking, what happens when we die? Lots of people are dying, and it's very scary. In this country and in our lives, we get to be able to not think about death very much. It's not a very pleasant subject to think about. But in other parts of the world, it's very, very present. At this moment in our time, it is very, very present. And it can be scary to think about so many people dying. Where do they go when they die? What happens when we die? I remember when I was about 7 years old, I used to get very fixated on death, about what it was like to die. And it was really scary. I remember being afraid to go to sleep and really panicking. You know how it is when you've struggled to go to sleep. And I used to cry, and my mum used to come and sit on my bed, and she used to stroke me. And I used to ask her, what's it like to die? Now, obviously, my mum hadn't died, so she didn't know what it was like. And, you know, she told me what she thought about it. But ultimately, it was a big mystery and a big unknown. But I remember her telling me something that was really helpful. And I hold on to that even now. She said it was like going to sleep. You know when you go to sleep and you don't dream? I don't know if you have that. I dream quite a lot. But sometimes I go to sleep and then I wake up and it's like I've only just gone to sleep, but it's hours and hours later. It's the morning time. And I hadn't really been aware of the gap in between. I'm not aware of being asleep. Well, it's kind of like that, I think. The Bible describes it like that. Jesus says that when we die, it's like we go to sleep. And he's going to come back. He's going to come back as he's promised. And he's going to wake up all those who have received the Holy Spirit, who've believed in him, who've asked Jesus to be part of their life. That's us Christians. When we get baptized, we invite God to dwell within us. The same Spirit, that Holy Spirit that fell on Pentecost, dwells within us. And that Spirit is the thing that can wake us up, that makes sure that we stay living, even though it seems like we're dead. And so all the people that have died in the Lord are resting, are asleep. They're not aware of time passing. And we, walking around, don't know if you've ever been awake when other people are asleep, but we get to know how long they've been asleep for, but they don't know. And when Jesus comes back, he'll wake us all up, and we'll wake up, and it'll be like we've all woken up from sleep. And it says in this Bible passage that Jesus is going to prepare a place in the Father's house where we will all live together. Now, today, you're all locked in your house. And your house has many rooms. Some of you may be feeling a bit more cramped than others. I, living on my own, am bemoaning the fact that I've got so many empty rooms. I just walk around my big, massive house with lots of rooms in it. And I'd love to have it filled with other people, but I can't. But I was talking to a friend last night, and he has two small boys and a wife. And although they have a relatively large house, he's feeling a bit cramped. Everyone is on top of each other, you know, you can't find a moment's peace, you can't find a room where you can just sit and be on your own. I wonder if you're finding that at your house. Well, Jesus says in the Father's house that there will be many rooms, many dwelling places where you can be on your own, be with God, but also where you can enjoy the fellowship of other people. It's going to be such a massive house party. Where we're going to be with the people that we love, and everyone will be transformed into the likeness of Christ, which means there won't be any people being annoying. We won't find anyone annoying because we'll have this great love of God within us. This is great things to wake up to. And so we don't need our hearts to be troubled at this time. What I want you to do with your Lego, Duplo, or other building blocks, if you've got them, is I want you to build what you think the kingdom of God will be like, the Father's house, the place with many rooms. Okay, so I want you to build lots of walls, lots of rooms. You may have lots of Lego. Have fun building that. I would love for you to send me photos like we did last week. You can send them if your parents are friends with me on Facebook. I think that's the best way of doing it. And then I can show them to the rest of the congregation. So go build houses with lots of rooms. I'd like you to take some photos of those different rooms. You might want to get Lego people or Duplo people or something just to put them in, or toys to put them in. And do that. If you don't have Lego or Duplo or building blocks, then I would like you to go and maybe you've got a doll's house or some sort of other way of building different rooms. Be creative with them. I'd love to see those. And we're going to use those in a prayer activity. So it's really helpful if you could do it. Now, you don't have very long to do that. You might have about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So go off and start building your houses with many rooms. And I'd love to see photos of that. We'll be using those in our prayer time later on in the service. So off you go to do that. Oh, actually, no, wait, before you go, I'm so sorry, I forgot. We've got an action song. This is a new song. I'd love to teach it to you. The actions are very simple. Even if you only just get the chorus, which is na 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 na, like this, and you just do that. But follow my actions. I'm going to go into the kitchen and show you this worship activity. Sorry, hold off on the Lego and Duplo. After the song, you can head off and do that. So let's worship God together. Well, there we go. Children, you can head off and start building your Lego houses or Duplo houses or whatever building blocks you have. Other brands are available, obviously. We're going to have our Bible reading now. This is from Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 12. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. Be grateful my sermons don't go on that long. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to listen now, and Simon is going to help us to reflect on that reading together.
What a weird reading we have today. A vision into the life of the early church, but very odd nonetheless. I want to draw out one clear message from the sermon. Don't fall asleep during sermons. It can be fatal. Okay, seriously, I'm not planning on preaching until midnight. Unless you start playing the video at about 11:55 this evening anyway. Enough silliness. What can I actually draw from the sermon that makes sense in the modern world? Well, the first thing is, we have one of the first visions of what the church will become in many centuries' time. The church is described as meeting on the first day of the week to break bread. The first day of the week, not the Sabbath, as celebrated by the Jews, which is the last day of the week, but the first day. Sunday, as we know it, not Saturday, or the traditional Sabbath. Why the change? Well, it's because Jesus rose on the day after the Sabbath, so it became a holy day. As it happens, Pentecost was also the first day of the week, so it had already become etched into the consciousness of the early church. The first day of the week is holy. We must commemorate it in some way. 2,000 years later, our weekend is dictated by this. We still meet to break bread on the first day of the week, even if we have lost track of which day is first and which day is last. We also see one of the earliest references to what we might call communion. In this passage, they meet to break bread, and also they eat. The two are referred to as separate entities, both of which are important. The breaking of bread to commemorate Jesus is becoming a thing. It is taking on spiritual importance. It is no longer just getting together for a meal. This particular meeting is important. Paul is leaving them and heading to Jerusalem, and he's doing so after one more lesson. We might ask why the church is meeting late at night rather than in the morning, but remember, this is the first day of the week. This is a work day, not a rest day. The believers have been at work all day. They're meeting in the evening so that everyone can join in. Merchants, leaders, servants, slaves, all in one place at the same time. They're in an upper room in a house. As so often we find the believers in the early days, with or without Jesus. This is a large room at the top of the house. When Roman houses gained upper floors, it became the fashion to eat upstairs, so it's likely that this was a room reserved for meeting, eating, and community, away from the rest of the household. It may even have been accessed from the street or the garden without disturbing the rest of the household at all. It's dark and hot. Remember, this is the Mediterranean. So the weather's much better than it tends to be in the UK, although I'm blessed today to be able to sit out and do this sermon outside. They needed light, so they have oil lamps. And the heat and the fumes from the lamps start to make Eutychus feel sleepy. His name may actually be a description rather than his actual name, as it means fortunate. But who is Eutychus? Well, the text describes him as a young man. And also as a boy, depending on which words are followed in the Greek. But the words can also mean a servant. Most people seem to think he is a servant boy of around 12. So is it any wonder that after a long day at work, he is tired by midnight? We might actually say that he's being quite clever, sitting near a window to try to get some cool air and keep awake. But he fails and falls from a significant height to his death. At that point, we might expect a commotion to occur. After all, the child has just died. But Paul apparently calmly walks downstairs, embraces the child, and pronounces that his life has returned to him. He then goes upstairs, breaks the bread and has dinner with everyone before continuing his sermon. And that's it. No drama, no furore, and we actually have no idea what the sermon was even about. Some people have speculated that Eutychus was perhaps not dead, but simply unconscious. So all Paul did was recognise this and embrace him until he came round and then pass him back to his friends. However, remember that Luke is a physician and would know if someone were dead or not, and he pronounces that the child's life has left him. So we can be pretty sure that he was indeed dead and that Paul heals him. The healing of the child comforts the church, and people go off happy, as I guess you would. What is surprising is the total lack of drama. Luke simply states that it happened and adds nothing else. We don't know why it happened. We are not told of it bringing many faith to faith or anything. It's presented in the most bland way possible. Why is it even mentioned if there's nothing to contextualise it? The simple answer is, I don't know. And neither do the commentaries I've read. It just appears in the text without further comment. So let's get back to the church meeting. Paul goes back upstairs as if nothing spectacular has happened and breaks bread. That is, shares communion. And then they have a meal. Some people have questioned why breaking bread is mentioned twice in the reading, once at the beginning and once towards the end. But I think it's actually only mentioned once. They meet with the intention of breaking bread, have a sermon first, pretty much as we do today, have a brief interlude while the resurrection happens, pretty much as we never do today, and then there is a natural pause. So they have the ceremonial breaking of bread, and this is followed by a meal, which might seem commonplace enough. But when we look at it in more detail, it's actually very unusual. Slaves and free, rich and poor, old and young, sit down together and share food. This would never happen in ordinary circumstances. It is truly a realization of the church's difference to the whole of the rest of the world. All are equal in the sight of God. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So we all arrive at the same time and share our lives together. A simple meal shows us the community that is building around the way, as it was known then, or the Christian church, as we call it today. Paul then teaches for some time longer, just as I won't be. What can we learn from today's sermon? What can we take as the take-home message? Well, I think it is the link to the past and to the future. 2,000 years ago in Troas, people were celebrating communion around a shared table and were then eating together. We do that today, admittedly metaphorically in May 2020, with Ned celebrating in all of our names. But hopefully, by July 2020, we may manage to physically do so again. Old and young, rich and poor, thankfully no longer slave or free, are welcome in this place. We gather as equals before God, as they did, to hear the word of Jesus, to listen to a message, to break bread together, and to eat with each other. We celebrate. This is something that I think in May 2020 in particular we need to keep hold of. This church is one church. We celebrate one God, and we break one bread together, even when we are apart. Paul will leave the people of Troas and head for Jerusalem, but he will still be with them in spirit as they continue to share the breaking of bread. We will stay apart for a few more weeks, but are together in spirit. As a church, we are strong, and in 2,000 years more, the church will go on because of the strength of that bond. Today's tribulations are temporary, and God is with us. Today, Eutychus died and was raised. Today, I am isolated in a global pandemic, but always I am with God, and he is with us all. So let's pray. Lord, as we isolate ourselves, help us to trust in you. You are one, and we are one with you. Physically separated, we remained joined in you as one body. Help us to hold on to that as we remain socially distanced, longing for the day that we can once more break bread together and share in your peace with one another. We join our prayers with Ned as he symbolically breaks the bread for us all, and we lift our voices to you, along with those of all your church, to one God, in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. So what was really, what I found really helpful about that was that reminder about the church and about what kind of a society it's trying to build, that sense of real equality, equality not in terms of raising one another up, but being humble before our Lord and Saviour. And when we gather around the communion table, that is what we are doing. This next worship song will transition us into celebrating that feast and that meal together. I will share a little bit about deeper theology on that when I'm over in church. Now, this is the moment where technologically we are going into new territory. I hope it works. If it doesn't, please be patient with us. Please don't go and go, oh, it's all broken. Michelle is already on the comment section. She'll hold it together and try and get it fixed from it. But I won't be able to control very much because I will be doing it remotely. So please be patient in this next transition period. We're going to worship together. This is sort of our preparation song. It's a good classic. Whenever we sing this, I'm always thinking of Mike Rowland, who introduced it to us. Thank you, Mike, for it. It's a Dave Crowder song. It's Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your
lay down your burden.
Due to technical difficulties, we were unable to record the sound of the celebration of the Eucharist. We apologise for this. We are seeking to resolve the issue for next time. So sorry about all that. We tried something. It didn't work. I hope you've all stayed put. Basically, we just celebrated Eucharist. So just to let you know that that's what happened. And I hope you could see me, at least, even if not hearing me. So we're back. I hope that Michelle has... I'm hoping that Michelle will have sent through a message about sending through the photos. I have got some photos, which is great news. Let me try and capture them for us. Oop, let me see if I can capture these. Hold with me. Right, let's do this. There we go. Can you see that? Good. These are great. These are Maisie and Abigail. Oh, scary, scary whatever that is. Oh, these are all, those were last week, sorry. Here we go. Look at these. These are brilliant. Lots of room, googly eyes. That's brilliant news. Good. I'm hoping that you can name those rooms, okay? Name those rooms. Thank you, Maisie and Abigail. And we have got some from Alice. So these are... Let's share some of these. Oh, this is the train to heaven, I'm guessing. Is that right? And, this is fantastic. Look, animals in heaven, all right? Very good. It's got heaven's train. That's fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Anyone else sending me stuff through? Any photos that we've got? Oopsie, I'm just out of that. Let's try that again. Yep, we've got some more coming through now. This is helpful for people. I'm enjoying sharing it. We've got... Oh, sorry, my internet's now just decided to be slow. And... Right, here's Alfred's house. Fantastic. We've got two girls, boy and a girl perhaps here. Is that St. Peter and his wife at the gates of the gates of heaven? Lots of animals there. Very good. Very good. Oh, no, that's last week's. Good. Thank you, Alfin, for that. That's really lovely. We've got someone else. The Rowlands have sent through this photo for us. Very good. Lots of rooms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And a garden, obviously. There's going to be a garden in the new creation. Very good. I'm liking how this car has been toppled off. Is that the garage? Just doing some work on that car there, because that's fallen down. Very good. Thank you. Last opportunity. Anyone else sent through anything? Oh, yes, Grace. Here we go. Let's see this from Bronte and Margot. Oh, brilliant. That's Margot's building blocks. Wow, look at that. Multi-layered with a slide that, well, you know, there's not going to be any hurting in heaven. So someone falling off that slide won't matter at all. They'll just, I don't know, maybe we'll be able to fly in the kingdom of God. Very good, Bronte. These are brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, here's how we're going to use those in our intercessions. We want to name some of those rooms, okay? And name them like typical rooms in your house. Adults, if you've not built anything with Lego or Duplo or building blocks, then I want you to start making a list of the rooms in your house. And you can be using this through the week and maybe something just to keep your mind occupied and help you to pray. under each of the names of the rooms that you have, we're going to try and come up with something to pray for, so that when we enter that room in our house, or we look at that room in our Lego or Duplo houses, we can be praying for certain things. So we're going to begin by the hallway, okay? The hallway of our house. So let's, children, you might want to go and stand in the hallway, or you might want to identify the hallway in your house, in your Lego house. But we're going to pray in this that we would be welcoming. That we would be welcoming at this time, that we would be open and hospitable, which means nice and kind to people in the world. Now, obviously, we're not going to be welcoming anyone into our house anytime soon, I don't think. So just being able to, when we interact with people, maybe online, on Zoom or whatever, that we would be nice and kind and open to people. So let's pray for a welcoming spirit in us. Lord, you welcome us into your presence and into your home and into your life. We welcome you into our life, and we pray that we would be welcoming and kind people. Give us a welcoming spirit in our interactions, in our conversations with people. Amen. Now, the kitchen. We're going to thank God for provision. The kitchen is often the place where we store provision, particularly food. I'd like you to either go and stand in your kitchen, think about your kitchen, or identify your kitchen in the Lego house, either way. And we're going to pray thanksgivings for God's provision to us. So let's just call out things that we are thankful for, that God has provided for us. Let's name those things that God has gifted us with. So let's just take a moment in your homes or on your own just to name the things that God has provided for you and offer thanks for them. Let's do that together. Thank you, God, for all the things that you provide for us. Thank you that even though we cannot see you, we can often see you gifting us if we have eyes of faith. So help us to have eyes to see your gifts for us. Amen. Now, the living room, or the place where you sit on sofas or chairs, and maybe there's a TV in there. This is a time of a place of rest for ourselves, places where we can hang out and have fellowship. So we want to pray for our families and our friends, those people that we like to gather with and relax with. So let's pray for friends and family in this room. The living room is often called the family room. So let's pray for them. So you might want to call out people that you are thankful for and to pray for. People maybe that you've not seen during the lockdown and that you are either concerned about or anxious about. Let's pray for them. So children, adults, let's name them before the Lord. Lord, we lift to you those that we care about, knowing that you care for them too. Be with them, Lord. Visit them in their homes. Remind them of your love. For those that are sick, would you bring healing? For those that are anxious or scared, would you bring your peace? Amen. Now, going upstairs, let's think about the bathroom. You might want to identify that in your house. Which one's the bathroom? The bathroom is a place of cleaning and cleansing. We're also going to think about it as a place of healing, a place of new starts and refreshment. So we're going to pray for those that are sick or those that need cleaning, those that are that are caught up in disease and horrible things like that. So let's name the people that we know who are sick, and we're going to pray for them. Lord, we pray for all those who are sick and who need your cleaning. Those who feel regret and shame for the sins that they have committed. Those that feel dirty and, yes, and unclean. Lord, would you pour out your refreshment, wash them, clean them. Bring them to new life, we pray. Amen. Finally, we're going to think about bedrooms. So I'd like you to identify a bedroom in your house and in your Lego houses as well. Now, this is a strange thing. We talked a bit earlier about how when people die, it's like they go to sleep. So we're going to pray for those that have gone to sleep in the Lord. I don't want you to start associating your bedroom with this, so please don't worry about it. But we're going to pray and thank God that he will come and wake us up, that he will wake us up in his new kingdom. And we thank him for the resurrection and for this new kingdom that is coming. So whenever you go into your bedroom, be hopeful of the Lord waking you and celebrating with you in the new day of his kingdom, when we will see him face to face and all our loved ones who sleep in the Lord. So let's pray for those that we know that that have died, and pray that they will rest in peace. That's what RIP stands for, resting in peace, the peace of God, that they would rise in glory. So let's pray for all those that have died, and thank God for his coming kingdom. Lord, I thank you that you have solved the problem of death with your resurrection. We thank you that we have the hope of new life, that even though we will sleep at the end of our lives, we will wake again into eternal life and spend eternity with you and those that we love in your new kingdom, celebrating with your feast of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that we do not need to fear death, that we do not need to be worried or concerned about it, because it is just a sleep in the Lord, a resting in peace. We pray for all those that have gone to sleep in the last few weeks, particularly those from our congregation. We thank you, Lord, that they rest in peace now, and that they will arise when you come to wake them up, along with us in your new kingdom. Amen. So we're going to pray now a prayer after communion, and this will be on your service sheets. God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. So last week we had the worship band create a worship song for us. They have done the same again this week. This is a good classic song from for St. Peter's. So let's worship together using the song Oceans.
The great unknown, where fear may fail, and there I find you in mystery, in ocean's deep, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves when oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't stop now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, where take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith could be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith could be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. When you walk upon the waters, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
Isn't it lovely to be able to hear our brothers and sisters worshipping and leading us in that way? Thank you, Andy and Hannah, for providing that for us. Just a few notices as we finish our time together. Just to say that Children's Church will be on at 3 o'clock. Beth has the details about that. I believe she's leading it today. So at 3 o'clock, there is an opportunity to engage again with church from the children's perspective. So do head over there if that is useful for you. Also to say that in a week on Thursday is Ascension Day. It's on Thursday, the something of May. We will be celebrating with our mission partnership brothers and sisters on Zoom, I believe, or it might be on Facebook. I think it's on Facebook. I think it's on the Facebook page of the S8 Mission Partnership. That's right. So if you go onto Facebook and search for S8 Mission Partnership, we've got a a Facebook page, just like we have for St. Peter's, and we will be live streaming onto that from all the four churches. So we will be combining worship teams and things like that to celebrate Ascension Day. That's Thursday evening on the S8 Mission Partnership Facebook page, I believe at 7:30 start. So please be liking that page to get ready for that, and more information will be coming out as we get closer to that. Other thing to make a note of is that the prayer course continues. We're meeting today at 4 o'clock. If you would like to be involved in that, it's not too late. Videos can be found on our website, so do search for that. Finally, next Sunday, we will be continuing on as we have been doing from the Rota. So if you are down to the Rota, please do look at it and search out if you're doing anything. We will try and work out a way in which we can include more people on these live streams now that we can. I will try and iron out the issues of Eucharist over the week. I really thought I had it, and it's one of those really frustrating things technologically where it all works in the rehearsal, and then when it goes live, it's all terrible. Thank you for being patient with me in that. I do want to just talk a little bit about times of prayer for those that have passed away and resting in the Lord. The 14th of May is Patrick's funeral. It will be just for close family, but it's on the 14th of May at 2 o'clock. So I invite you just to put that in your diary, just to pause at 2 o'clock on the 14th of May to pray for Patrick's family, and particularly Jill, obviously. On the 15th of May, the day after, at 10 o'clock, is David Mehmet's funeral. So please do put that in your diary as well, and stop at 10 o'clock on Friday, the 15th of May. The other two funerals are yet to be announced. Barbara Silcock is having what's called a direct cremation, where no one will be present, but I will be sending details out of that so that we can pause and be quiet for the rest of her soul, and indeed also for Maureen Moore. We continue to hold those, and the many people who are suffering bereavement at this time, we hold them very much in our prayers. If there is anything that you need to talk about, anything that you're struggling with emotionally or pastorally, then please do get in touch with me. I am always more than happy to listen and to answer questions or to help guide you through these difficult times. So I do hope that you will take me up on that if that would be helpful. Of course, Michelle is also available as our pastoral worker, and I'm sure the small groups are supporting one another in that. But please do get in touch if you would like to talk to me about anything. I think that's it in terms of notices. Any that I have forgotten will be in the comments section on Facebook, so do search for those, because no doubt I have probably forgotten it. There's something in the back of my head that says I've forgotten something. But anyway, let's conclude our service, starting with the Easter acclamation. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! May God the Father, by whose love Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. And may God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. And may God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and always. Amen. With the risen life of Christ within you, go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Have a good rest of your Sunday. You can join me for daily prayer each day during the week and midweek Eucharist. So if you've missed the sound of this of today's Eucharist, you can come and catch me. I know how to do it midweek. So do join us for then on Wednesday. Until then, peace be with you.